Amen. You know, even if we don't preach the word of God, God has met us from the opening hymn. God has met us through the worship. Hallelujah. And you know, when we speak in tongues, we speak in mysteries. Sometimes there's no knowledge that you can use to pray a prayer. And I believe whatever it is you are asking God for, whatever it is, I believe that God has done it for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please welcome someone again this morning. Say, well done for getting here in this rain. In this rain. I don't know about you, this is the kind of weather where you make a nice hot chocolate with some nice meat pie, if you like that kind of thing. And then you put sugar in the hot chocolate, even though it's sweet, and you just cuddle. You know, the best time to sleep is in the rain, and then you'll be hearing the raindrop. Oh, that sleep is sweet. Some of us don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah. But it's good to be in God's house. It's good to be in God's house this morning. And I'm sure we all know that Pastor Benson is where? There's only two places he'll be, right? Canada or here, we all know. Yeah, we know. We know what's in Canada. Do you know what's in Canada? We all know what's in Canada. And so I'm sure that he's waiting for all the pictures that we're going to take today. His heart is here with us. And this morning, I'm just going to take the word of God this morning. Pastor sent, he sent me a message that we're going to start a new series. And the series is called, Why Am I Here? And like Pastor would say, I'm going to be like an American. And say, ask your neighbor, why am I here? Why am I here? Why am I here? You know? And a lot of times when we ask that question, we think, oh, why am I here? And we think of our purpose in the world. And obviously, I believe God has a purpose for every individual in our earthly life. But I'm going to come from a different angle this morning. And I have made my topic. I've said, why am I in this church? Or why am I in the kingdom of God? So, in looking at that this morning, I was just thinking of, there's so many great people in the Word of God, you can't even choose one. But there's one person that came to mind, and that is a lady called Mary Magdalene. You know, I often like those, if I can call it, sub-characters. You know, sometimes you have the main character of a movie, and in the movie, the main character, like they say, the main character never dies. They for some mysterious, even if they run into a train or whatever, they will still be alive, the main character. But we have some sub-characters in the Bible, meaning like they may not have a book after their name. They may not have like done great things like we have the Apostle Paul of this world. But maybe they were just in the background. But I tell you, their life was meaningful. So I'd like us to look at Mary Magdalene this morning. And you know what? Mary Magdalene, the reason why I chose her, because Mary Magdalene, she was just an ordinary person like you and I, okay? So maybe when I first said that, what is my, why am I here? Why am I in this church? Or why am I in the body of Christ? A lot of us, you might think that, well, the people that really have the responsibility in the body of Christ are the apostles, are the bishops, are the prophets. But I tell you, that every single person has a part to play in the body of Christ. And in Ephesians, it tells us that as well. There's a chapter in Ephesians that talks about the body of Christ being like the body. So I'd like us to read about this wonderful woman called Mary Magdalene. And I'd like us to read about her story in Luke chapter 7, verse 36 to 50. And it's quite a long read, but you can follow with me in your Bibles, or you can follow on the projector. So I'll read from verse 36. It says, when one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet, As she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair and kissed them and poured perfume on them. So when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who was touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she's a sinner." And Jesus answered him, wow, look at Jesus. Whatever you say in your mind, he's heard it. And he answered. And he said, "You sinner." Hold on. So Jesus answered him. Sorry, he said, "Simon, I have something to tell you." Am I reading the right thing? What verse are we on now?
40.
Verse 40, thank you. Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed me money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 and another denaro, and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "The one that owed the greater debt." I just paraphrased that bit. He says, "You have judged correctly." Jesus said, then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." I'm just going to stop there. And from reading that story, and also as well, we learn about Mary Magdalene, which I will allude to later on. She was one of the people also that first saw Jesus when he resurrected. I pulled out some characteristics that we can get from Mary Magdalene. So we are asking ourselves, why am I here? Why am I in this church? Why am I part of the body of Christ? And Mary Magdalene, she knew why she was part of God's ministry. And some of the things that helped her is, number one, she was in tune with God. I'll explain that later. Number two, she knew who Jesus was. Number three, she was committed. And number four, she was willing to give her all. So in finding yourself in a church or in the kingdom of God, I believe as Mary Magdalene displayed, these are some characteristics that will help you along your way. So let's go back to, why did I say Mary Magdalene was in tune with God? A lot of people or sayings say that Mary Magdalene did not even know that she was anointing Jesus for his death. Even the disciples that were with him day and night. So being in tune with God is like being spirit-led. It's like she knew that Jesus was going to be crucified, and the Spirit of God led her to anoint him with that oil. Now, one of the things I wanted to say is, like, when you're part of a church of God, when you're a body of Christ, one of the things that can help you in your following Jesus is always being in tune with God. Now, what does it mean to be in tune with God? Does it mean that I'm going to hear a loud voice? Does it mean that I'm going to see a big vision? I think Jesus is personal to everyone, but it's being spirit-led. So, for example, I want to use an usher as an example. You might just think, in the church of God, I'm just an usher. I'm just someone that sits people down. I'm just someone that stands when everybody's sitting. But I tell you that even as a person is up here and you are there, you are doing a mighty work of God. I remember a story that Apostle told us when he was doing a crusade in Nigeria. That's western part of Africa. That's one of the best countries, have you heard, in Africa? Maybe I'm biased. So he was in a meeting, and lo and behold, somebody in that meeting came to kill him. Now, when we come to church, we don't expect that someone should come with an agenda. And a lot of us may, because we live in a posh part of the world, we live where there's 24/7 electricity. You open your tap and water comes out. Even if you don't pay your bill, I don't think they'll cut your electricity. We live in so much comfort. But let me tell you that there is a spiritual world. And a lot of times the devil wants to appeal more to our flesh and make us forget that there's a spiritual realm. But there's a spiritual realm. And the reason why I'm saying that is the guy that came to kill Apostle, he did not come with a gun. He did not come with a knife. He came with mystical powers. He came with useless powers. I'm saying useless powers because all those powers are useless. Amen? There's only one power, and that is the power of Jesus. And the guy came with all the mystical powers. Apparently, he had like all this nonsense. Tertius, he had all the mystical powers. And he had planned, him and his people, that they were going to kill Apostle that day. And guess what? Apostle was in tune with the Spirit. That is why, anyway, let me not go there. Some people, is a new trend now. Everybody wants to preach. Everybody wants to hold the mic. But if I can say, you better come correct. Do you know what I mean by come correct? Be in tune with the Spirit. So Apostle was in tune with the Spirit. And did Apostle panic? No. He just carried on preaching and he said, oh, by the way, there's someone here that's trying to kill me. I know, he said, if it's you, put up your hand. Do you know what everyone did? Everybody turned back. Like, it's not me. And do you know what the power of God did? The power of God lifted that guy up and pushed him. Maybe they sent an angel and pushed him to the front. And the rest was history. I think the guy actually gave his life to Christ. But what I'm trying to say, you need to be in tune with God. I said, I've used this example before. You know, as many of us are workers in a vineyard, you know, when we come to church or you're in the kingdom of God, it's important to be in tune with God. I remember that one time, even in our children's ministry, somebody came with some witch's book. And it was somebody that was in tune with God. You know, sometimes in the service, God will just tell you to get up. Let me just go and check. Or let me just go there. Just go. And one of the sisters in the church came and told us that that person that came to look after the kids actually brought, you know, witches books. And obviously that person never came back. And anyway, even if anyone tries it in this church, it can never succeed. Because we're under a covering. And God will always expose. But in looking at your purpose in Christ, you need to think of what is my purpose in the church I'm in. And it's so important to be in tune with God. And sometimes in being in tune with God, I just want to encourage us. Again, if I use another example. You know the apostle that we see who is in charge of all the churches? Guess what he used to be? What? A lawyer. Okay, he has completed his LLM and everything. Yeah. But Apostle, he used to be a guitar player in the choir. And he just used to be a member like any one of us in the church. And he was in a Baptist church. And it just occurred to him that he noticed that some people are not coming to church. So he went to the pastor of the Baptist church and said, please, can you give me all the names of the people that aren't coming to church? And he made it his duty. Every night he was praying for each of them. Why am I giving that example? Was he a pastor? No. I don't even think he was a choir. He was just a member. But he took God's business on his own. So when we're saying, oh, what is my purpose? I don't know what I'm called to do. There's many things to do in the kingdom of God. So we need to be like Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene didn't care. And I'm sure Mary Magdalene, she must have received a lot of hatred or pushback. They don't really go into her story, but that little that they give us here is that We know that Jesus cast out, is it 7 demons from her? They said she had sinned and everything. Some films, they portray her as maybe she had been a prostitute and things like that. So can you imagine that kind of person? I'm sure, maybe when she was following Jesus with her bag, Jesus, here's your bag, here, sit down. Some people will be whispering, look at her, ex-prostitute. Why would Jesus even be? I don't understand these men of God these days. Why would they be flocking with people who were prostitutes and things like that? But you know what? She was focused. And that was Mary Magdalene. She was in tune with God. And I'll stop there. The next thing I talked about in terms of being in tune with God, we're not just called to be, why am I here? We're not just called to be part of this church. If you found yourself part of this church, it's not by chance, and God has a calling for you. But we're called to be part of the kingdom of God. Now, how many of us do we feel in our spirit that there's a revival, like, already? How many of us? Or do we think about those kind of things? No, I don't know. So do you know that in America, and that's why it's very important to watch the news. You know, sometimes we Christians, we're so religious. We say, watch the news. No, I watch God Channel 24/7. Oh, really? That's good for you. I watch preaching from morning to night. You know, I often joke with my husband that, because my husband, oh my God, sorry to do this to you, he doesn't really watch the news. So I said, you know what, rapture will come and they'll announce on the news and you even know, God forbid. But as Christians, it's not just like coming, praying to church, all those things are good, but we need to be in tune with what's going on in the world. Okay, there's elections. For the first time in history, there's election in UK, there's election in America, there's election in France, I believe. There's going to be election in Israel. Why is this all happening at the same time? Right? And then, just out of that curiosity, you know the war in Ukraine that's been going on? Ah, man, God is really their strength. Please, in your own time, if you can pray for that, is it President Lewinsky, I beg. Because if that was me, huh? And we know if it was some countries, they would have taken their private jets and flown somewhere. But that guy has really been a good role model. But do you know that during the Ukraine war, there are what you call war evangelists? Can you imagine that? People who are evangelizing when there's shooting, when there's bombs and stuff. And I watched this thing and he said that so many people have given their lives to Christ during the war. Jesus can be preached anywhere, anytime, in child labor, during war, Jesus can be preached. And another thing that I found amazing as well, going back to the point I made, do you know in America, is it Louisiana State? They have governors, don't they? One of the Louisiana states, they were saying that they want to bring, 10 commandments back to all the schools. And also as well, in several campuses as well in America, many young people are giving their lives to Christ. I think I mentioned another time that there was one campus that was so crazy that people were being baptized in trucks of people's cars. And another thing that I'm so excited about is that, you know, the country Iran, just go and do your research. They said, don't be fooled, that in the past few years, so many people are turning away from Islam to Christ in Iran right now. There's a lot of revival. And I read, I was reading the research, because there's some journalists that's gone in, that right now in Iran, some of these Christians, because it's an Islamic nation, some of them now, there's no like church they go to, they gather in homes, people's houses, and they trying to learn the Bible and everything. And some of them, they gather under risk, because if the government catches them gathering, they could be arrested and everything. So what I'm trying to say, when you say, why am I here? Why am I here in 2024? Why was I not here in before Christ? Why wasn't I here in the disciples' time? Just like the disciples took the word of God, you are here in 2024 for a special commission. Tell your neighbor, you're here for a special commission. And I want you to ask yourself a question. Do I love Jesus? And if you love Jesus, you'll be concerned with what is in his heart. And we know Jesus loves people. What is in his heart is souls. Okay, so that was the first thing we looked at is, in understanding why am I here, why am I in the body of Christ, why am I in this church, is understanding that we need to be in tune with God. The second thing is being committed. Now, I think this is where, like, we struggle. In asking yourself, why am I here, you need to be committed to the things of God. Committed, it could be, the reason why I use the church of God is because that is where you can actually demonstrate your commitment. And one of the things I like about Mary Magdalene, she was committed to God even after his death. And I'd like us to read the story of when Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. And I always do this. I never wrote the actual chapter down. So, Mary and I think the other Mary, they were the ones that saw Jesus. So I'm just going to get that scripture up for us. I know this morning when I said I'm going to talk about why am I here, you're probably thinking, I'm going to say, I'm here for a time like this. I'm here. Jesus is going to take you to another level. You're going to be a millionaire. You're going to be this and that. All that is by default as a Christian because we are blessed already.
Is he about when Jesus?
Yes. So there are different versions. I think John chapter 20. During my reading. Thank you, Sister Giuliani. Yeah. So in John chapter 20, verse 11 to 18, this is a story about Jesus appearing to Mary Magdalene. And it says, now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and one at the other at the foot. They asked her, woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away, she said, and I don't know where they have put him. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, she said, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him. This woman was prepared to go and find Jesus' body to her lack of knowledge. Jesus was committed to the end. And I just want to encourage us in God's house this morning. This is not a scolding and it's not a telling off, but really, we need to be in tune with God that God is coming back soon. And we just really need to be committed to God. And what does commitment look like? You know what? Mary Magdalene, I'm sure she followed Jesus up and down because there's a scripture that says that Mary Magdalene was a follower of Jesus. Although he had 12 disciples, many people followed him and she was one of the women, few women that followed him. So what does commitment look like? And again, before I say this, I know some people work, you know, different kind of jobs and things like that. And it's between you and God. If you really cannot come to a meeting because you're at work or something, that's fine. But you know what? Being committed to God is being about his business. So for example, we're here this Sunday. During the week, we have prayers on Monday. What do we also have? We have Bible studies on Fridays. And we also have, sometimes on Saturdays, I've seen Brother Daniel, we have evangelism. And being committed is being interested in what God is interested in. Can I put it like that? And let me tell you something. You know what the devil does to us? The devil says, why are you wasting your petrol going up and down? Why you went to church on Sunday, that's enough. But let me tell you, let's look at it this way. A lot of us are working here, right? Does it take commitment to fulfill that job? Do you always feel like waking up on Monday morning? Do you always feel like doing the extra hours and stuff? But what does it take? Commitment. So if we're committed to things that end here, God requires commitment for us in his thing. And let me tell you, it's not even for him, it's for us. Maybe I just want to encourage some of you as well that God sees your commitment. And I remember a long time ago, when I was single, you know, I was just like a Jesus girl, a church girl and everything. They really thought I was weird and everything. Church, 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 church. You know, even got to the point where my mom is like, because at a point, I was going to a church with my mom, but then I left that church and I started going to this church. And let me try and use it, how the distance of the church. Let's say you live in Bristol and then the church is in Wales. So I used to go, and then sometimes I wouldn't drive, I would take the church. And my mom used to say, "You're a young girl. Why are you coming back late at night?" Some of us think that we go to church here. You know, in CFT in London, do you know how many times they go to church? Does anyone know? You don't know? Oh my goodness. So on Monday, they have prayer online. On Tuesday, they have prayer online. On Wednesday, they have Bible study. On Thursday, they have prayer. Friday, they have prayer. Friday's night vigil. Beginning of every three, I used to be in the choir there. Man, they go to church. They go to church literally every day. Man, you have to be a soldier. I'm telling you. They go to church every day. Yes, but I am going to put a PS there. Apostle is not saying that you say, I'm going to church every day. I want to resign from my job. No, because you will be hungry. Okay, so we got to use wisdom. But what am I talking about here? I'm talking about commitment. And for this lady's commitment, Mary Magdalene, we're reading about her today. This is someone that maybe in her family, they've cast her off. She's a nobody. But here we are, 2024. We're reading about this wonderful woman of God called Mary Magdalene. And I think she deserves this accolade because she was committed, even to the point of death. When she found out that Jesus' body was there, she said, where is my Jesus' body? Let me go and carry him. Would any of you want to go and carry a dead body? This lady loved Jesus so much. Sorry, time is far spent. The other point that we're looking at is she knew Jesus. This is actually what I want to get onto. I think I said it in the wrong order. The last two points is Mary Magdalene knew Jesus and she gave her all. And I'll just talk about both of them together. Now, when I say Mary Magdalene knew Jesus, I'm not just saying that, you know, she knew the Bible and everything, because even at the time, the apostles have not compiled the Bible that we know now. But Mary Magdalene knew Jesus. I'm sure she can tell you what Jesus' favorite food is. She can tell you, if you're looking for Jesus, where he is. Oh, he's there praying. So my question to you this morning is, do you know Jesus? Or do you know the Jesus that has been presented to you? A lot of times, sometimes as Christians, and I'm guilty of it, we've come to know about Christianity or Jesus by listening just to preachings, by what we read. But do you know Jesus? So I had a list of questions here for you. If a Muslim brother came into the church right now and said, "Sister Sarah, I just gave my life to Jesus. I want to know more about this Jesus." Where would you start from? What book of the Bible would you start first to preach to this guy? So I wrote here, can you tell someone that just came to Christ, can you tell them, teach them about Jesus' character? Do you know the scriptures that you would go to? So, do you know how you would edify someone about how Jesus treated people? Where would you start from? Do you know the character of Jesus? Jesus loved everyone. Judas was trying to kill him. He still treated Judas fairly. That one is the one that I can't comprehend because, Jesus, I'm honest. If I knew that you want to kill me, even if I try and be nice, my face will tell you that, what are you trying to do? Like, don't come to my house kind of thing. But Jesus still ate with Judas. Do you know how many brothers or sisters Jesus had? And this is important. The apostle said something because a lot of people will try and say that, in some faiths, they try and glorify Mary like she's actually a god, like she's more blessed. But one of the things, I love the revelations that God gives apostles sometimes, that God made it possible for Mary Magdalene to have brothers and sisters for Jesus to show that actually this woman is a human being. And Jesus is not just, she's not just some holy person that just had Jesus. Do you know how many brothers and sisters that Jesus had? Can you tell someone that just came to Christ? Do you know how many miracles Jesus performed? What were the parables that Jesus spoke to people? What were the names of the disciples that Jesus took with him? What did Jesus say about paying tithes? I said that for a reason. Because there's some things in, you know, if you don't know Jesus, you'll be carried away by all these arguments that are in the body of Christ. What did Jesus say about forgiveness? So if you're sitting there and you're like, okay, I need to look, I'm like that as well. In our last anniversary, Apostle told us we should study John chapter 4 and study that book in and out because it tells you about the life of Jesus. But you know, this may seem so hard, but this should be the minimum of every Christian. Because I tell you, for the job that you have, I know how we study day and night. And we know our job to be qualified as accountant, doctor, whatever your role is. And in the same way, Jesus is saying to us this morning, do you know Jesus of the Bible, or do you know a Jesus that's been presented to you? And lastly, in order, when we're asking ourselves, why am I here? Why am I in the body of Christ? And why am I in this church? It's going to cost you. Jesus Magdalene, she gave her all. You know when Mary Magdalene poured that oil from the alabaster box on Jesus? The Bible says it was 300 denaro. I think that was the currency at the time. Guess how much that is equivalent to this time? Anybody? I checked it up. Is equivalent to about $54,000. That is what that lady poured like that. So is it about the money? No, it's about the love that this woman had for Jesus. I don't know about you, but $54,000 is not 10 pounds. And that lady gave it away like that. She gave her all. What is it that you might need to give for Jesus? Is it maybe it costs a lot of petrol to drive to the meetings? Is it sacrificing some things? What is it? To follow Jesus is going to cost you something. And with that, I'd just like us to rise up in prayer. You know, this morning, I just came with the agenda just really to just stir up our love and our passion for Jesus and to see ourselves and our role as workers or ourselves as Christians in the body of Christ as not something that is played with, is serious business. So we've learned this morning that, you know, as someone that's in the body of Christ, I need to be in tune with God. What is God doing in the nations this time? Why am I in this church? What is happening? I need to be committed. I need to give my all. And there was one more. She was committed. She gave her all. I just want to say, Father, Lord, give me the grace to do your work, Lord, in this end time. Say, Heavenly Father, Lord, give me the grace to do your work. I know this morning, I know that things are tough. I went to supermarket last week and I was telling my husband, can you imagine olive oil is 8 pounds? Olive oil is 8 pounds. My God, there's trouble in the land. But you know what? It doesn't matter because still we move with Jesus. Jesus is my provision. Jesus is my provision. The way Jesus brought food, the angel brought food to Elijah, Jesus can still work in a supernatural way. But you know what? Your job is just Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek ye first his kingdom, and every other thing shall be added unto you. Is it that job that you want? Just seek God. You're not seeking God for the things that you can get. But God will not leave you stranded when you're about his business. Just say, Heavenly Father, Lord, give me the grace, Lord, to do your will. I understand why I'm here. I understand why I'm part of this church. I understand why I'm in the kingdom of God. Lord, give me the grace. Give me the grace, oh Lord, to do your will. I will not be caught unawares. There's a story about the 10 virgins. The Bible says that all these 10 virgins, they were all getting ready for a party, but it says 5 of them had oil for their lamp, but the other 5, they were complacent and they did not have oil for their lamp. Let's pray that Heavenly Father, Lord, where my love has grown cold, Father, Lord, send your fire into my heart and ignite me. I will not be like the 5 virgins that knew that the bride of the party was coming, but they were unprepared. That is not me in the name of Jesus. That will not be my household in the name of Jesus. Say, Heavenly Father, ignite my passion for you. Ignite my passion for you. Ignite my passion for you this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Ignite my passion for you, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Kala brada shotorogodo. Raga sotara. Ignite my passion for you. In the mighty name of Jesus. And there's one thing that God is doing. The Bible says that in the last days, he said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And he said, even in the last days, he said, knowledge shall increase. And God wants to increase knowledge amongst his people, amongst Christians. So I want to pray specifically for people in their career this morning. Maybe you work in the finance field. Maybe you work in politics. Maybe you work in IT. Maybe you work in medicine. But God wants to give the knowledge that he gave Daniel. God wants to give the knowledge. Do you know that the Israelites in Egypt, they built the pyramids without technology, without maths? God wants to give us knowledge. So we want to pray that even as we're praying about why am I here, say, Father, Lord, Daniel 1, chapter 1, verse 17 says, to these 3 Hebrew boys, he gave the spirit of understanding of all things, of all academics, and he gave the understanding of things of the spirit. And these things he gave to the 3 Hebrew boys. We're going to say, Father, Lord, Daniel 1, 17 says that you gave these 3 Hebrew boys understanding of all things. Father, Lord, you say, God, in my field, in my career, where I find myself, give me insight, oh God. Give me knowledge. Give me insight. I will set blueprints in my career in the name of Jesus. I will be the answer in my organization. Where they're running helter-skelter because they want to do redundancy or they don't even know the future of the organization, God will give the solution to CFT Bristol members in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, impart us with knowledge. You said that you will increase knowledge in the last days. If the heathen can have knowledge to do all these things, what more us who have the spirit of the living God who created all things? Father, we thank you, Lord, because knowledge has come to us. The Bible says, I have the mind of Christ. For those of us who are studying, if there's anything that's been difficult for you to understand, just go back home after today. God will give you clarity. God will give you understanding of all things in the name of Jesus. God will give you understanding. God will give you clarity. We pray this morning, oh God, that everyone in your fields, you will be the best. You'll be the head and not the tail. You'll be a solution provider because you're made in the image and likeness of God and because God is a life giver. Where you find yourselves in your career, you'll be a solution provider. In the mighty name of Jesus, see yourself as God sees you this morning. You're not in that career by chance. You might be asking yourself, why am I here? Why am I in the job I'm in? You're not there by chance. And maybe some of you want to change careers. God will give you direction and God will give you the knowledge that you need to excel in that field. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.